Welcome to the All Things Black podcast. Today, we're going to dive into the vibrant world of literature and empowerment with my guest, Tanya Duncan Ellis, an acclaimed author known for the Sophie Washington series and the up-and-coming masterpiece, They Built Me for Freedom. Join me as we explore her boundless creativity and insights as she redefines storytelling. I'm your host, Daryl Barnes, and this is the All Things Black podcast. Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes, ma'am. I'm excited to have you on this show myself. Really anxious to know about your work, your creative process, and how long you've actually been doing this. Before we get it into the episodes, though, I want to do a bit of house cleaning, and that's basically letting the listening audience know that I appreciate them for listening to my previous episodes and becoming subscribers. And for those that have not subscribed to the show, please do so. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a comment and share my episodes with your friends, your families, and whoever else you might know that might enjoy a good podcast episode. Tanya, you've got quite a few accolades to your name. You've done quite a bit in your time in writing. You're a best-selling author, the Sophie Washington series, which I believe is a 13-book series. Is that correct?
Yes, there's 13 in the series.
Got it. You're a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, the Authors Guild. What is it, Black Creators and Kidlit? What actually is Kidlit? I'm unfamiliar. Can you explain briefly what Kidlit is?
Kidlit is just children's literature. So it's books for children. So kids literature.
Gotcha. Okay. And I believe it's 2021. You won an award in Austin. And that's also for the Society of Children's Books Writers and Illustrators.
Yes. A manuscript I wrote was honored at a conference with that organization.
Okay. Gotcha. And you currently hold an MBA degree from Washington University in St. Louis. I'm also a Kansas Cityan. I'm from Kansas City myself. I know quite a bit about St. Louis and Missouri. Yeah, that's my hometown. Yes, hometown. Love it. And you hold a BA degree in French from Century College of Kentucky. A Houstonian, or you're from Houston, Texas, and you're married with three children.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And family life is everything, correct?
Yes, it is. It's very important to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With 150,000 books and counting sold in the Sophie Washington chapter book series, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you signed a deal with HarperCollins. The question would be, what was your inspiration for that series? How long did it take you to complete it? And how did the HarperCollins deal come about?
Okay, well, that's a lot of questions, but I worked as a journalist for a while before I was married and had my kids, and I always loved to write. And after I had my three children, I used to read with them all the time. And when I would read, I noticed that they weren't really relating to a lot of the books that I would share with them from that I enjoyed as a child, and they weren't really relatable to them. And I said to myself, well, maybe I could write a book that kids would like, because I'd always wanted to write a book. And that kind of inspired me to write my Sophie Washington series. And so I wrote the first book in the series, and I shared it with the librarian at their school. And she said, well, this is something that kind of fills a niche, because most of the books that talk about African-American characters, my series is a chapter series about an African-American girl from the suburbs of Houston and her friends. And they are tweens. She's 11 years old. So they do things like struggle to fit in with their friends, stand up to bullies. They play video games, and they do a lot of common things that tweens of today do. And they have different problems they solve in every book. But so the librarian said this kind of filled a niche at the time, because most of the books that starred African-American children were more trauma stories of them having extreme poverty or different kind of issues. So then the books kind of caught on. Since I live in a large market in Houston, I kept writing different books and I took them out to different community events. And a lot of teachers and librarians would come to some of the events and take them back to their schools. So they kind of caught on in my community. And then I used social media to expand the reach to other parts of the country and even globally. So that's how I had sold many books in the series. And then I think you asked about my upcoming book, I think.
We're going to get into that one. I haven't asked that question yet, but I did ask about how the HarperCollins deal actually came into play.
Right. So that came into play after I had been writing a while. One of my books was the rights to my book called Sophie Washington Code One, about the children in a computer coding competition, was purchased by Scholastic in 2021 for a special STEM program they had for minority girls. And I started trying to get my books into some Barnes and Noble and different bookstores. And I found that I could only get them into individual stores. So I was so excited with getting them into a local store in Houston. And I realized, you know, I want my books in all the stores. I don't just want them in the ones I can hand sell them to. I want my books to have a bigger distribution. So that's when I started trying to pursue getting in the traditional publishing space. And to do that, you need to get a literary agent to get your books presented in front of the big five publishing companies like HarperCollins. So I used the manuscript I had that had won that prize we talked about earlier to get an agent. So I sent it out to different agents. And within a couple of months, the person who's my agent, her name is Sarah Megabo from KT Literary, contacted me. And then she took me on as her client. And so after that, I was able to, the work that I do, she will present it in front of the bigger publishing companies. So after I signed with her, she was trying to sell that manuscript. And in the meantime, I left to visit historical areas in my community. And I went by Emancipation Park here in Houston, which is the site of the first Juneteenth celebration. And so I passed Park all the time when I'm going to my church. It's in the third ward in Houston. And so I said, you know, this place, someone ought to write about it, because this is I was just doing research about it just for myself. And I said, they ought to write about this. And this was before Juneteenth became a national holiday. So I wrote about it and then I sent it to my agent. And I said, we need to try to sell this. I know Juneteenth is going to become a holiday and we need to sell this book. So she sent it out, and so HarperCollins bought it. And so, you know, I was so excited that that happened. And what happens with process, it takes up to 2 years for those books to be published. After you turn in your writing, they go through an editing process. They have to select an illustrator. And so the book is scheduled to come out in May of 2024. It'll be out. So I'm really excited about that.
That's very interesting. You did just answer a couple of questions that I was going to ask you. One was about traditional publishing, and you kind of explained what that process was and how long it actually took, which was another question I was going to ask you about the length of the process. But it sounds like you really found a niche and you found a void that needed to be filled, especially in the representation field. A young Black girl that was not poverty stricken, like you said, the other librarians and whatnot were expressing to you. And I think that that's something that needs to fully expand. I'm hoping a lot more writers actually follow your lead and begin to publish a lot more books like that. And, you know, consider that, again, representation plays a huge part in how our children perceive themselves and how they digest information and whatnot. So I thank you very much for having the foresight to even, you know, do something like that. Even though you said that you wanted to, you know, do it, I believe, for your children first. That's how that came about. Was that correct?
Exactly. And I did find, as you said, you know, as I started writing the books, kids or parents would write me in, you know, write me emails thanking me for the books because they were encouraging their reluctant readers to read because they found something that they could relate to and enjoy and got them more interested in reading. And that really encouraged me to continue on with the series.
You know, imagery plays a huge part in children's development. Because I remember when I was young and it took almost a lot for me to even pick up a lot of books because, again, I just didn't see the representation. But once I did see a form of representation of myself, just even on the cover, it led me to say, okay, well, wait a minute. Let me see if there's something to this. Picked the book up, started to read it, and then merge it with, you know, some of the imagery. And I was able to retain a lot more of the information because, again, I had some, you know, somebody that saw something that represented me or looked like me. So that was huge. So you should get a lot of praise for doing that.
Right. And I'm doing something I just, you know, that I love to do. And there's so many other authors out here nowadays, like Derek Barnes, Kwame Alexander, Jerry Craft, who have books that are showing, especially our African-American boys, showing the representation and writing books that kids can relate to. And these books are important for all races because when you look at the climate and the way things are, it helps other people have understanding of different communities and different people. And, you know, having these children seeing the representation lets them see that there are so many different things that a Black child can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. So with that being said, with your up and coming book, I know this is kind of fast forward into it, but with your up and coming book, They Built Me for Freedom, how much does the Sophie Washington play into this new book that's actually coming out? And what was the idea or the strategy or what's in this new book that you think people will be able to hold on to and gravitate towards once you finally get it published?
Okay. Well, that book, or my upcoming book, They Built Me for Freedom, is totally different from Sophie Washington because it's a picture book, which is a 32-page color print book, where Sophie Washington books are illustrated chapter books. So they have 20 black and white illustrations, but they're chapter books for older, geared toward older readers reading those chapter books. But They Built Me for Freedom is for all ages. It is telling, it's kind of a historical fiction telling the history of Emancipation Park. And the park is personified in the book. So it's telling the story of how it came to be and the history. So it's a little bit different than Sophie Washington. And some of my Sophie Washington books do give history. They include poems from Langston Hughes and different things that Sophie learns about. So they do tell about history. But the picture book is a little bit different. It's written in a lyrical style. So those kind of books are kind of like even poetry. They're a little bit different than that. But they still could appeal to readers of the Sophie Washington book, just wanting to learn about the history and their, you know, looking at the beautiful pictures and things like that. So the children can still relate to that book, but it's a little bit different.
Got you. And thank you for that answer. I thought that I might do something a little unconventional in asking you some questions, just to get a feel of your creativity, how you think and how you move about and, you know, coming about ideas for your books and things like that. So one of the questions that I wanted to kind of ask you would be, imagine this. In a parallel universe where the laws of physics and storytelling intertwine, children's books are not just vessels of imagination, but actual gateways to alternate realities. If you can step into one of those worlds created within a children's book, which story would you choose to immerse yourself in, and how might it inspire you to reshape your own reality?
That's a deep question. So you're asking if I could step into the world of
if you can, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I'm not really sure. I write realistic fiction and I normally read realistic fiction. So I don't really, that's a good question. I don't really know any book I'd want to besides my own reality, because I would want to be with my family and my kids. So if I moved into the reality of a book, I wouldn't really be with my loved ones. I don't know that I would really choose to leave my own reality and move into the reality of a book, unless it was some kind of utopia where all of my family could be there.
Yeah. Gotcha. And there's like no book that you've read so far that will you would even think about, like, okay, well, I would actually see myself in this type of reality or this universe. Of course, bringing my family along with me, but there's no book that you've actually read so far that you can think of that would put you in that type of reality or an environment.
The only thing I could think would be in the Bible, if it was the time when, you know, when everything was perfect.
There we go. Okay.
But I don't think of any other written book that I would want to live in. No.
Okay. Gotcha. Like your process when you go into your writing process or your writing spell? I mean, do you just go off alone by yourself? Is it music? Are you, you know, well, like, what is your complete like style? What is your setup? I mean, do you immerse yourself in music? Is there candles? Do you like sip wine or anything like that?
Well, for me, I prefer to write in a quiet space. So usually, and I'm a morning person, so when I'm starting a project, if I'm writing like a novel, I have a routine where I write at the same time every day, usually earlier in the morning. And sometimes if I can write in the afternoon. And I don't like music playing when I'm writing because it gets me distracted. And I do sometimes light a candle just to... I'll light a candle when I start a writing session and then blow it out at the end, like to get some kind of ritual to get myself feeling like I'm getting in my flow of writing. But the main thing with process for me is to have a set schedule. Another thing that I do, I walk a lot. I try to walk almost every day when I can. And a lot of times when I walk, I'll come up with ideas, or if I'm having a problem with, if I'm writing and can't figure out where to go or what I need to do, I can come up with ideas that way as well. So that's something that helps me in my process. And another thing I do, I read a book called The Artist Way that recommends that if you're a creative person, to take a creative field trip or date with yourself, like once a week. And I can't always do this once a week, but I try to go to different places. And doing that has helped me come up with different story ideas, like how I went to Emancipation Park, or if I go to like different museums or historical places, or do one time I went strawberry picking with my daughter. Like trying to do different things, it gives me different ideas for stories.
Gotcha. I don't know how much you're into rap music or hip hop, but I know my favorite artist growing up, which was Rakim. He talked about some of his process and how he went about, like, sometimes just getting on the subway or the train or whatever the case may be, and just being able to observe people. And a lot of his stories actually came from that. So that's that's one of the reasons why I asked you about your process, because I know everybody has different processes and they get inspiration from different places. But yeah, that was one of the reasons why I asked you about that process and answered absolutely. And I definitely thank you for that answer to that question. So your next book is set to be released in 2024, They Built Me for Freedom?
Right. It's coming in 2024. It just populated on Amazon, but they still haven't shown me the book cover. I've seen some of the sketches, so it's actually available for pre-order on Amazon, but there's no pictures or anything up yet.
Now, is that something that normally happens this early, or how does that process work?
Lee, so this is my first traditional publishing deal that I've had, you know, so this is my first experience with this, but I'm friends with some other authors and they've got books coming out around when mine is, and they have the same thing where some of their books are up, because within probably 2 or 3 months from now, it's now September, they'll have my cover reveal, you know, and people probably can pre-order it because it's in 9 months now, coming out in May 2024. So I think that's pretty typical, yeah, from what I've seen.
Okay, gotcha. I'm excited. To be totally honest, this is my first time hearing about the park that you said that you visited and that you're gonna write about. So I am very interested in learning more about that, and I can definitely do that through the purchase of your book when it's actually completely out. So I will be purchasing that book.
Yeah. I'm so excited because this park had its 150th anniversary last year, and they had like a big event with I think they had the Isley Brothers, or they just had a lot going on at the park. And it's been, when it was revitalized, the architect who did the work at the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., did the work at the park here in Houston. So it's a beautiful park with all kinds of beautiful artwork in it. And it's just a lovely place.
Nice. Definitely excited about it. Like I say, I'm going to be purchasing it. It is. I've seen the Sophie Washington series on Amazon, definitely, and read through a lot of the comments, the reviews on that page. All of the reviews on the page, and I have to put this out there for the listening audience, just about all the reviews on the page is absolutely phenomenal. They like your work. They really like the fact that you actually stepped out and did something actually a little bit different in terms of, you know, like you mentioned earlier, took a character and made that character, you know, very intelligent, very, you know, not poverty stricken and things like that you kind of mentioned. But like I said, I just wanted to put that out there and talk about some of the reviews. Anybody that's going to listen to this episode, make sure you go to that Amazon webpage, Sophie Washington, and the author is Tanya Duncan Ellis. And just read through some of the reviews. They're really great reviews about her work. And I'm actually expecting the same when the new book actually publishes and comes out. Tanya, again, this might be a little crazy question for you, but I just want to see kind of what your thought and process is and whatnot. But just say, for instance, you woke up in a world where books, because you're a book lover, right? I mean, I've listened to other interviews that you've actually been on, and you talk about your love for books and love for writing and things like that.
Yes.
Just imagine you woke up in a world where books never existed. How would you actually market your incredible stories about Sophie Washington and even your life story using oral traditions, right? Just oral traditions in storytelling. And what lesson do you think that would be put out to modern authors about that kind of a marketing strategy, if that kind of makes sense?
Okay. Well, when I came up with the Sophie Washington series, I actually used to tell the stories to my kids as bedtime stories. So I would, even before I wrote Sophie Washington, I used to make up different stories for them and for my nieces and nephew. So, I guess I would continue with that as far as marketing the books, or maybe even hold events and tell stories to different children to keep them engaged.
Gotcha.
But yeah. And I don't remember what was the last part of this question.
And what part of that would you talk to modern authors about that particular strategy that would actually kind of assist them in their writing or marketing process?
Well, I think that when people pick up a book, they want to be immersed in the world and they want something that's kind of engaging. And when you're doing speaking orally or they're interacting with someone who's a storyteller, it's kind of an interactive experience. And so maybe that's what we should strive for when we're writing, to make it interactive and bring the reader into the world. Keep them engaged.
I like that. So now, one last question, and I don't believe that. Well, let me just ask the question. What do you think about AI in terms of helping people to create content and write books versus the traditional way where you just write the information yourself?
Right. And AI, when I would hear about it before it came out, I was really afraid of it. It just seemed like something kind of scary. And I've gone on AI and I was amazed how quickly it generates information. And right now, I feel like it can't replace human creativity, because the things that I've seen, when I was only on it for maybe 20 minutes, it wasn't as good as I could write myself, but I guess it will improve. But it seems like the train's out the station with that, and it's something we have, you know, it's going to be part of the reality, but hopefully it won't replace human creativity.
Yeah, I don't think it will. I really don't think it will. As far as it being a tool that you can utilize to assist you in, you know, whatever kind of work or content creation that you are doing at the moment, I do see it as that. But as far as like your creativity, your thought process, even in my particular background and field, as far as audio engineering and things like that, the human ear is attuned to certain frequencies and things like that, that I don't think that AI can fully mimic and pick up. It's just not going to do the job. But as far as like helping you further along in terms of pushing out that content and that creativity a little bit faster, absolutely. But, you know, I don't think it will replace, you know, you guys or even, you know, people that have been in my particular field or whatnot. I don't think it's a replacement of that, but is it help? Will it help? Yeah, absolutely, it will.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because from what I understand, a lot of the things that we've done with Google searches and things like that, we've really been using AI, but it's just we didn't know, or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So, with that being said, Tanya, I really want to thank you for coming on my show and appearing on this episode of the All Things Black podcast. I do want to definitely invite you back. Hopefully this was a great experience for you. And I want to ask you, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would love to actually talk about? And this, and the flow would be absolutely yours. There's no interruptions or anything like that.
I think we covered everything. The only thing you didn't ask me is how people can contact me. And my website is TanyaDuncanEllis.com. And I'm on social media at Tanya Ellis Books on Instagram and Facebook.
Absolutely. I was just giving you the floor for everything else, but we were going to get to that part. were definitely going to get to that part about the social media and the website and whatnot. But thank you for go ahead and dropping that in there. Again, I'm going to have you repeat it one more time. That way the listening audience can definitely, you know, get that information. So your social handles again and your website again is?
My website is TanyaDuncanEllis.com, and my social media handles on Facebook and Instagram are at Tanya Ellis Books. And I would like to thank you, Daryl, for having me on your show and giving me this platform to share my work. And I so much appreciate it and all that you're doing to get the word out about different creative people and different things going on for the Black community.
Absolutely. I try to pride myself on helping to tell Black stories through media, sometimes visual media. Like I said, I'm an audio guy, so we try to do audio first, which was traditionally what podcasting was originally before the visual component got added onto it. But I want to definitely thank you. Listening audience, make sure that you go to Tanya's website and make sure that you go to Amazon and purchase the Sophie Washington series books. There's 13 of them now. There's 13 in the series. And look out for her up and coming work, which is They Built Me for Freedom, which will be out in 2024. And make sure you give her some great reviews and things like that after you make sure that you purchase the book. And yeah, just be on the lookout for her. She's doing some great work. She's got some great accolades to her name. So, Tanya, I definitely want to thank you again for coming on the show. As always, you know, this is the All Things Black Podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Barnes, and I definitely want to thank you guys for hanging out with us and listening to this episode.
All right. Thank you.